One thing I've learned after all these years, you're gonna save yourself a whole lot of tears. Don't try to figure out who was wrong and who was right. Got to move along, baby. Let's ride. You got to roll with the punches. Yeah, you got to go with the flow.
Yeah, you got to roll with the punches. Hi, everybody. It's your old friend, Mike Houlihan. Hibernian Radio, we're back once again here at Lizzie McNeil. So glad you could all join us. You're listening to Hibernian Radio. We're brought to you by Mike Haggerty, Buick GMC, Volkswagen over on Cicero Avenue in Oak Lawn, and our old friends at McCann's Irish Oatmeal, and we thank them both for being our presenting sponsors. You know, last week we had Joe Ahern on the show, and I wanted to thank him and the 100 Club for all the great work they do with our first responders. And Joe invited me Thursday night to go to the 100 Club Valor Awards, which is just a terrific night. And he had first responders, firefighters, police, and paramedics from Cook, Lake, McHenry County. They gave about 30 awards out. It was just terrific, but it was also great to hear these citations of what these guys did to earn the awards. And just, and that's why we do the show. We're so impressed with the valor of our Irish first responders in particular, and here in Chicago. And one of the things we're trying to do with that is, because obviously this is an Irish radio show, and we're very into Irish mythology, and we see that the direct correlation to the mythological warriors of old are our Irish police, firefighters, and paramedics, the heroes of our time, fighting in a war that never ends, risking their lives for the safety and well-being of us and our families. So that's what the show's all about. We're big believers in Blue Lives Matter. And tonight we have retired Commander Kevin Duffin. Kevin, welcome to the show. So glad to have you here, pal.
Thanks for having me, Michael.
How many years were you in? 28, 30?
I retired with 35 years, 8 months, and 10 days.
Wow. Got it down. Yeah. I love that commander, though. That's such a cool title. Now, you had like you were like the head of all the detectives, right?
I was the head of all the detectives assigned to Area North Detective Division. That was approximately 300 detectives.
Holy cow. And interesting, folks. We just had a little incident on the lower Wacker here a few minutes ago, and Kevin assisted me. There was a guy out cold on the street, and there were a couple of guys hovering a little too close to him. Looked like they were going to rip him off or something. And he went right into his act. It was terrific watching him work at the whole situation. Now, so you were born in Ireland, or you grew up in Ireland? What's the deal?
I was born here, taken back there as a young child, and spent the next, until I moved back here when I was 10 years old.
And how old were you when you went back there the first time?
Two.
Your dad was from County Antrim and your mom from Mayo, right?
Dad was from Tunbridge, County Antrim, and my mom was from just out a little town right outside of Claire Morris called Irishtown, Mayo.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And so then you came back when you were 10. What was that like? Did all the kids say, who's the Mick? You know,
oh, it was culture shock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We probably had picked up a brogue and everything, right?
I had. Yeah. My father came out here probably 9 or 10 months before we came, so he could get a job, line up a place for us to live and everything. So he, you know, calls or telegraphs back to that we're all set, I got a place for us. And in 1968, we were the only Caucasians moving into the Inglewood neighborhood.
That's where he found your place.
Yes, that's where he found 55th and Damon. Yes.
What year was this?
That was 1968.
Wow, I went to Mount Carmel. I was right there. Got out of there in 67. It was pretty bad.
Yes, it was.
He was wondering why the rent was so cheap, probably.
And we moved here in the middle of a school year, so I ended up going to the public schools.
Public schools?
Henderson Grammar School at 57th and Walcott.
Wow.
And
you're the only white kid there?
Real quickly, because everyone used to walk up to me and say, you talk funny.
Yeah, because you had a brogue, yeah.
Yeah. So I got rid of that brogue as quick as I could.
Oh, that's great. And then where'd you wind up going to high school?
Well, I started out at Hubbard, and I ended up graduating from Curie because they had just opened Curie at the time.
Okay.
And they were looking for volunteers, and I was like, I wasn't an idiot. I was like a brand new school, and yeah. Why not go there?
So. Hot. Do you have brothers and sisters?
Well, there were six of us originally. There's only three of us left.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
My brother Pat, who was my best friend in the world, he succumbed to bone cancer in 92.
Oh, wow. God bless him. Yeah.
Diagnosed in July and died Christmas Eve of that year.
Wow. Yeah, I've lost three of my brothers. There were six boys in my family, and we're down to like three of us now. Yeah. Sucks. But what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Now, where do you fit in there? Are you the youngest, in the middle? Where are you?
I am currently I guess all along I was in the middle, yeah. There were three older siblings, and of the three that are still surviving, I'm the middle again.
Anybody else go into law enforcement?
No. Okay. It was kind of an accident that I went into law enforcement.
Why was it an accident?
I was in college. I was at Loyola. I was dating a girl, and my ultimate plan had been finish up my degree and go to law school, and the girl I was dating at the time, her father was a Chicago police officer.
Ah.
So he suggests, well, take the exam, and, you know, if you get on the police department, they'll pay your way through law school.
Yeah.
And so I did, got on the job, and I eventually went to law school. It was 15 years later.
Yeah, sure.
But once I got on, I was having so much fun, I just said, I'm not going to quit this job now. It's too much fun.
You know what? That's what everybody, all the cops who come through here say that. They had so much fun, and it was just... And what they mentioned was the camaraderie of the other cops and salt of the earth. We've had several female cops on, and they say the same thing.
Oh.
Just, you know, it was a trip every day, laughing every day.
You develop a bond like no other. I mean, I have a lot of friends from college and high school that I still associate with talk to, but none that I feel as close to as the officers I've worked with over the years.
Sure. And when did you become a detective?
Well, when I first came on, believe it or not, I mean, no one can believe that I ever made commander. I still can't believe I ever made commander. Because, I mean, I came
on
the job.
You look so young. Look at you.
I knew nothing about police work. I knew nothing. And I came on the job completely naive as to how everything worked. And I was assigned to Englewood.
Wow.
I spent my first 15 years there. And... then in 96, I got promoted to sergeant, and I got kind of drafted right after that. Well, I went back to Englewood. My commander brought me back. I was like, thanks a lot, buddy. So I went back to Englewood. I was a tax sergeant for a couple of years, and then I got drafted to run by the Area 1 deputy chief at the time, Ron Jablon. There was a spike in Hispanic gang murders in the 9th district, so he wanted me to put together a team to address that. So I got to handpick my 10 people, and over the course of the next 2 years, we
out of the whole Chicago Police Department, you got to pick
out of all of Area 1.
Oh,
so,
wow, okay.
Out of the 7th, 8th, 9th, 21st, and 2nd district.
Oh.
So I took two from each district, and over the course of the next 2 years, we did such a fantastic job. Afterwards, he says, what can I do to reward you? And I said, I've always wanted to work in the detective division.
Yeah.
So I got sent to the detective division as a sergeant.
Wow. Yeah.
And pretty much stayed there for the rest of my career, save for a one-year stint I did when I first made commander. They sent me back to patrol for a year. It's routine that you...
Yeah.
So I was the commander of the 20th district on the north side, which... I didn't even know where the 20th district was. The day I got promoted, Gary McCarthy called me into his office and said, effective Sunday night at midnight, I'm promoting you to commander. You're going to be the commander of the 20th district. He said, do you have any questions? And I said, yeah, where the hell is the 20th district? I said, is that the one that borders
Evanston?
Evanston.
Yeah.
And he didn't know because he wasn't familiar
sure.
with
He's
Chicago.
From New York. Yeah.
So he looked to Al Weisinger, his first deputy, and he says, I don't know. And Al says, no, it's the one that borders Evanston. So it was quite a drive. It was a 2-hour commute both ways when the weather was good.
Oh, wow, yeah. Yeah. Well, the Commander is such a great title. Will you also watch Commander? Or, I mean, how does that work?
Well, yeah. When you're a lieutenant or a captain, then you're a watch commander.
Okay.
So I was a watch commander for in various districts for a while when
okay.
I first made lieutenant.
Yeah.
I mean, believe me, Mike, I never believed. The day I made sergeant, I thought I had reached my pinnacle. I said, "Well, this is it. I'll never go any higher." And, but you know, it's hard to describe, but. A lot of it is luck. I mean, you're at the right place at the right time. You impress somebody. Gary McCarthy, when he promoted me, he told me, we had had several heater cases in Area 1 Detective Division.
Explain what a heater case is again.
Well, you know, high publicity.
Right. Draws a lot of heat.
Yeah. The media is all over it.
Yeah.
Particularly when I was the homicide lieutenant in Area 1 when Hydea Pendleton got killed.
And, yeah,
I mean, that was
the kid in the playground, a girl.
Yeah,
right? She got shot. Yeah,
who Michelle Obama came to her funeral. I mean,
oh,
the heat was on that one.
Yeah,
and that was a tough case. We worked that hard for 3 weeks before we put it down. And McCarthy was impressed.
Yeah.
And you know what? It was. I hate to say that. I mean. That I benefited from that, but he was impressed by the way I ran the investigation.
Yeah.
So
good. Yeah. And what other heater cases did you have?
Oh, dozens and dozens. I mean, right before I retired, probably the last heater one I had was we had in Garfield Park Lagoon about 2 years ago. We had the little kid that was cut up and
pieces of his body.
Well, yeah, we found the arms, the legs, the head, but we never found the torso. We never did find the torso on that one. We've made multiple efforts, but he's no longer the offender who's charged now is no longer willing to cooperate. So.
Yeah. You know, I was reading up on you today, and there was a quote you said. This was back when you said, "I've been a policeman for 28 years, and we see things that you're not supposed to see. We see, and they affect you." Interestingly enough, my sons have a friend who was a police officer, a female police officer in Oak Park, just a little bit older than them, and she had gotten into really the horror. She began becoming a counselor for little kids who've seen their parents murdered and stuff like that. And she eventually had real mental health issues, and she killed herself just 2 weeks ago. She hung herself, and it was horrible. To think it was because things that she had seen, it somehow got in her head, and, can you address that? What's the deal? It's just horrible.
It's, you know, as much as I loved the job, and I had fun every day of my life until the day I retired, but when you deal with the monsters that we deal with sometimes, and you see the things that we see, I mean, it kind of turns you into a monster. It takes away some of your humanity and your innocence. There's no way you can see what you see every single day.
Not be changed.
And not be changed, yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, guys, patrolmen who work in districts, I mean, if you're in a slow district, you might see 2-3 things a year that really impact you.
Yeah.
If you're in a busy district like Englewood or Harrison, you might see 2-3 things a month that are going to impact you. And then when you're in the detective division, especially in violent crimes, you're seeing 2-3 things a week that are abhorrent to you. I mean, little kids that are tortured and abused and neglected and beaten and the most heinous murders you'd ever want to see. I mean, there's no way you can do this job and retire.
Right.
And not have been affected by it.
Yeah. Now, how many kids do you have?
Well, I have one son from my first marriage.
Okay.
And then two children from, they're actually my stepchildren from my wife's children from her first marriage.
And in your picture we had, you had your little granddaughter sitting
there. That's my granddaughter. That's
what's her name?
Lucille Rose.
She's just gorgeous. How old is she, like 3?
Oh, no, no. She was born the 15th of January last year, so she just turned 15 months.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
She lives with us, so she's...
Oh, does she? That's great.
Oh, yeah, I got her 24 hours a day.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Yeah, she loves her papa.
Yeah, but she's got you wrapped around her finger.
When I was leaving the house to come here today, she was at the front door crying.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yes.
What's her name?
Lucille Rose.
Lucille Rose. Well, that's great that you have her living with you guys, you know, to keep you young.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, she keeps me young, that's for sure.
And what are you doing? Are you basically a grandpa for your retirement? Is that what you're doing or what?
Yeah, yeah. You know, when Lucille came around, it was another contributing factor. I mean, I had always planned on staying until they pried me out the door at 63. I mean, it's mandatory retirement at 63. But then, you know, politics be what they are. And then I knew Lucille was coming, and I just said, you know what, it's time to go. So I left, and she was literally born like 3 weeks before I actually put my papers in. And I've been with her ever since. I mean, I'd like to maybe do a part-time gig after this when fall comes around. I got some projects to do around the house, but once I get them done, I'm thinking maybe going back to work a little part-time.
What,
stuff.
Like security or consulting or something like that? Yeah.
You know what? Actually, I've had a couple of attorneys who used to work for the Corp Counsel contact me. They're now in private practice, and they're like, you know, you ought to consider being an expert witness because you've testified in hundreds of these police shooting trials and these murder trials. And from what I gather, that pays fairly well.
Well, that's good.
So I may get into that. I don't know.
What about investigations? Is there a line for that? Or?
Yeah, you know, I've looked into that. But like most of these private investigators, it's like divorce stuff and insurance. And you're just sitting in a car down the block photographing some guy as he's leaving his girlfriend's house. It's not exactly my cup of tea.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Oh, that's great. It's just about a year ago that you retired, huh?
Yeah, February of last year.
How old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 61.
Okay, because you're a young-looking guy.
Thanks.
You've survived pretty good there. Unbelievable.
It's good genes. It's my mother's genes.
Now, do you ever get back to Ireland?
The last time I was back was... This is a funny story. Well, it's not a funny story.
Tell us.
1996. I had just gone on furlough, and my maternal grandmother...
What is furlough? Explain that.
Oh, vacation.
Okay.
That's the police terminology for vacation. Right. My mother's mother, my maternal grandmother, who was still alive, and she was, I want to say, 99.
Wow.
So my ma was back there, and my ma calls me, and she's panicking. She's like, you know, mom's not good. She's not going to make it, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And she was, and my ma, who is the strongest person I've ever met in my life, has, you know, put up with so much and had so much happen to her. She sounded like a little kid crying on the phone. So
well, that's her mother.
Yeah. I was like, she was there by herself. I mean, there was nobody else there. So I went over to Gaffney Travel on 111th Street.
Yeah.
And I gave them my credit card. I said, I don't care what it takes. Get me to Ireland in the next 24 hours.
Wow.
And they raped me.
Yeah. No, I'm just... That was a commercial for Gaffney Travel.
I don't think they're in business anymore.
Okay.
So I get to Ireland, and when I get to, I land in Shannon, and I rent a car, and I drive to Mayo, and by the time I got there, my gram had already passed.
Yeah.
So I meet one of my cousins who I had never met before because he wasn't alive when I left Ireland.
Yeah.
And he says, well, I'm glad you're here. Now you can help with the funeral arrangements. And I'm like, oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
And then we went out to the shed, and he handed me a shovel. And then we went down to the local cemetery.
Are you kidding me?
We had to dig the grave. Oh, I swear to God.
Oh, wow.
And I was like.
Are they in the, they were in the country?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, Irish town, it's
rural.
It's a church, a bar, and about five residences. I mean, that's that small. So, and there's a little plot of land that's been there since the 1600s, and everybody who dies in the town is buried there.
Sure, in there.
So we had to go, and I'm like, you're kidding me, right? He's like, nope. So that's what we did. And then the funeral is the next day.
In the home.
She's in a pine box.
Yeah.
And
There's no embalming or anything like that.
And then you just pick her up and bring her down. And
wow.
And then everyone goes to the pub.
So and how was your mom? How did she take all this?
You know. Ma took it tough, but I mean, she loved her mom and hadn't seen her in so many years because she had been out here so long.
Yeah.
But the same weekend, famous Irish actor, Richard Harris, he died the same weekend.
Yeah.
So they're televising his funeral on television, and obviously he's a millionaire. Yeah. He's in the same pine box my grandmother's in.
Really?
Yeah, that's all. Yeah. No big. That's,
he was from Limerick.
Yes, he was. Yeah. Yes, he was.
Yeah. Like he was a great actor.
Yeah.
Wow. So you had to dig the grave and everything. Holy cow.
Yeah.
Now, how many people showed up for the funeral? It's a little town.
Yeah, about 20, 25. Yeah.
Wow. And then everybody went to the pub afterwards.
Everybody went to the pub.
And wow.
The women went and had their tea in the back room, and the men.
Was that the last time you were back?
That was the last time I was back,
wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I stayed for 2 weeks.
Did you?
Yeah, after my mom got settled down. I said, well, I'm here. I haven't been here for a while.
Sure.
So I took the car and I had rented it and I just took off and I drove all around. I went to Galway, Limerick. A lot of bars.
Yeah, well, sure. That's what it's a preview of heaven. That's what I call it. A preview of heaven. But you were still working as a cop. So you came back and went, okay, now it's back to Englewood.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
From Mayo to Englewood. Whoa, boy. I went to Mount Carmel, and we used to practice football at Jackson Park. And we'd be walking, to walk from Carmel on Dante or into Jackson Park, and they would come out on their fire escapes and throw stuff at us, as we're walking down the street. And, it was good. Character building, no question about it. Yeah. And it was a very integrated school,
Yes.
Actually, I sent my sons there. They were there. They were there in the 90s.
Most Mount Carmel guys do.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, yeah. And now, what's the pinnacle of your long career? Anything you'd like to tell us about it?
Oh. Well,
is there a reason they gave you a lot of heater cases? Did they think, he can handle it?
Mostly it happens. I mean, they're assigned by where the geographic location, but there were a few that I was actually specifically called in to handle.
Yeah.
The thing I take the most pride in, I handled several police murders where the policemen were shot and killed. Alex Valadez killed in Englewood, and Nate Taylor. I've worked on those, and I mean, you take great pride in when you catch a guy that killed a policeman.
Yeah.
Probably my most interesting case, one of the strangest cases I've ever dealt with. It was a contract murder. I won't mention any names, but if I tell you about it, people can Google it anyways, because it was fairly newsworthy at the time. She was a fairly high-ranking member of Richie Daly's staff, and she was waiting for a bus at Archer and Halsted to go to work, and some guy walked up and shot her in the head and took her purse.
That was a contract killing?
Well, at the time, we thought it was just a straight-out robbery, but it made no sense. And then as we start working it, we get information from a guy who says, I don't know if this is any relevance, he said, but she's going through a nasty divorce with her husband.
Oh.
And her husband was in this bar the other day talking to this bust out. And I thought they were joking, but he was talking about having his wife killed. So I'm like, well, that's kind of relevant.
Yeah.
So
no, she's dead. Yeah.
We start backtracking. And, it turns out we finally tracked down the guy who he had. I probably shouldn't say this. He had been a fireman who had lost his job. He had a lot of issues with drugs and booze. He had lost his job. He was down on his luck. And so he's our guy. So we go, we hit his house with a search warrant. We can't find the weapon. We've recovered the rounds from her body, so we know what caliber we're looking for. There's no weapon. But right as we're leaving, I noticed that there's a section of the wall that's freshly plastered over.
This is in his apartment.
Yeah. So I'm like, so we call the landlord, and we're like, was there a plumbing problem or something? He goes, I have no idea. I didn't do that. So do we have your permission? So we tear out that, and in there we find her purse.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. So now we bring him in, and he gives it all up. He tells us, the husband hired me, told me to kill her. He provided the gun to me. He gave me the gun. And I said, well, what was with the purse? Well, I wanted the purse because I wanted to prove that I did it.
Oh, and I'm so like, he could get paid.
Yeah. And I'm like,
doesn't he read the paper?
Yeah. It's been all over the news. You didn't need to take the purse.
And that's what sunk his ship.
Yeah. This is one of my former co-workers, Patrick O'Hagan.
All right, Pat. Yeah.
So now we need to get the guy who hired him, the husband.
Yeah.
So
what did he pay?
Because we had that's the killer of the story. So we put this guy on a wire and we have him call the husband.
Sure.
And says, you know, the police just let me go. They got nothing, but you need to give me the rest of the money because I got to get out of town.
Yeah.
And he made enough incriminating statements that we had enough to go grab him. So we bring him in. The funny part was funny. Nothing about this is funny. But when he did it, he told us, he goes, I was so drunk. He goes, because we said, where did you get rid of the gun? And he says, I ran down this street and I threw it in a sewer. Well, he couldn't remember if he ran down Lowe or Emerald or Green.
Yeah.
So for about 4 days, we're down in every sewer from Archer to 31st Street looking for the gun. And we finally found the gun.
You found it?
Yes, we found it. And we matched it up with the ballistics from the bullets taken. So then, the husband had purchased the gun. There was a legal transaction.
Yeah.
So we charged him. But at the end, because it had never come up before, but we finally asked the guy. We said, well, what was he paying you to kill his wife? And he says, well, he was giving me $10,000. And I said, he gave you the $10,000? No, he gave me $50 that night. He gave me the gun.
$50?
$50. And I said, and he was going to owe you the $9,900 another 50?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, he went out and committed a murder for $50, thinking he was going to get $9,950 later.
Wow.
That was the strangest case I've ever worked on.
You know, we had a former sheriff's police officer here a couple weeks ago, and he worked a lot of murder for hires, and he said that's the going rate for killing a wife is $10,000. Didn't he say that, Billy? He did. I was like, okay, now we know. This has been great. I got to tell you, you got to come back sometime. All right, we're talking to Commander Kevin Duffin. Put in what, 35 years?
Yes, sir. God, almost 36.
You. That's just great, and great stories. Thanks for your service, your bravery. We salute you, and keep going back to Ireland. We encourage that, and God bless you, Kevin. Thanks for coming on the show,
Michael. Thank you for having me.
All right, pal. We're going to take a little break here on Hibernian Radio, and we'll be right back after these messages from our friends.
There's no friend like an old friend. Southside Cousins Mike and Dick Haggerty have been selling cars for over 45 years. They've been in business together since 1982 when they started their first store where everybody in the old neighborhood bought their cars. I go way back with the Haggertys. Mike's a Mount Carmel alum and Dick is St. Ignatius. Dick and Mike have been particularly classy to me over the years. Whenever I visit their showroom, it's old school. Buick GMC at 9301 South Cicero or the Volkswagen store at 89th and Cicero, both in Oak Lawn. So do yourself a favor. Get to know the Haggerty family. You'll be delighted you did. I'm currently driving a used car I bought at Haggerty's. It's a gem. And when I think I got lucky, I have to tell myself, no, it's because Haggerty took good care of me. God bless him. Call him today at 708-423-5000. 708-423-5000 or go to HaggertyCars.com. Generations of Southside Irish have been happily driving Haggerty cars for generations. Visit Mike Haggerty Buick and GMC at 93rd and Cicero and Mike Haggerty Volkswagen at 89th and Cicero and tell them Hooley sent you. And if you're a first responder, you just might get a better deal than I did.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one Irish pub on the Chicago River, and that's Lizzie McNeil's at 400 North McClure Court. We spent a lot of time there, taping the Hibernian radio show at Lizzie McNeil's every Wednesday night. You can escape the hustle and bustle of Navy Pier and relax at Lizzie McNeil's. Our old pal John Wren is your host. Please say hello when you stop by for one of their ice-cold brews in an authentic Irish pub. One visit and you'll be calling it your hometown hangout. We've been hanging at Lizzie's for going on 10 years now, so join us. When the weather gets nice, they have two outdoor patio areas where you can take advantage of the sunshine and a cafe menu of salads, sandwiches, and appetizers. Lizzie's also has a great private party room that's perfect for birthdays, graduations, and most nights at Lizzie's you can meet the elite of Chicago's Irish-American community. So stop by Lizzie McNeil soon, right by the river, and tell them you were sent by your old pal, Hooley. Thanks.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today, available at your local grocery store.
With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. The Hibernian Radio Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150.
Hi, everybody. We're back on Hibernian Radio. Your old friend Mike Houlihan here, broadcasting from Lizzie McNeil's every Wednesday night. Come on down and join us, 400 North McClure Court. Have a beer. You can listen to the show, meet some of the guests. We want to thank our sponsors, Mike Haggerty Buick GMC, Volkswagen, and also McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We just listened to some music by McDara O'Canola. I hope I'm pronouncing that right, McDara. It's from his album, The Love Token. He does Irish and English tunes, and he sent me the Irish ones. I said, no, I don't speak Irish. So maybe we should stick with the English. And then Billy said, yeah, who knows what he's saying in Irish? We don't know what he's saying. So anyway, lovely tune, McDara. Thank you. We hope to play some more of your stuff in the future. Now, you know, Billy, whenever I'm walking down Western Avenue and I look in the window, Ken's or Wrong's or Hart's or any of those great Irish saloons, I see the ghost of my old pal Jimmy Goff through the mist, and he says to me, hey, holy, who died? Now, one of my best friends died, Tony Golden, the great Tony Golden. Tony was 90 years old. You can read the obit. I wrote a great obit for Tony. Friday is his funeral, so yesterday was his funeral over at Old St. Pat's. But please go to MikeHoulihan.com just because he needs, you know, attention must be paid. This guy is an amazing character, a great Irishman. He's from Swinford, County Mayo, his family. He was a policeman's son, and what a life he led. And you can read all about it at MikeHoulihan.com. I don't want to read this to you over the air, because you got to sit there in your study and read it by yourself. But Tony was just a terrific guy. And our condolences to his wife, Kay, and his sons, Kevin, Tim, and Terry. And we all went over to the Erie Cafe after the funeral. And what a time was had by all. Tony and I and Charlie Carey and Jimmy Strong and Bill Crawford used to hang out at Gene and Giorgetti's after lunch and just tell stories and relax and laugh. He would make you laugh and cry, and he just a tremendous guy. And he introduced me to Ed Kelly, the committeeman of the Fighting 47th Ward and also the general superintendent of Chicago Park District. Ed had his annual giant awards every year over at the White Eagle on Milwaukee Avenue. So thank you, Tony, and God bless you. And find me a spot in heaven, will you, pal? I need help getting in there. Okay, so also Delia McGuire, age 85, a native of County Mayo. She's the wife of Thomas McGuire, the mother of John, Mike, Pat, Anne Marie, Tom, and Kevin. She's a cherished grandmother of 15. God rest her soul, Delia McGuire. Also, Nora Christine Conway, beloved wife of the late James P. Conway and the loving mother of Mary Jo, Thomas, and Frank Conway. She was preceded in death by 11 brothers and her sister. She was a native of Castlebar, County Mayo, Ireland. God rest her soul, Nora Christine Conway. Mary Pat Curran, knee Tansy. Oh, she was a Tansy. Age 81. She was born and raised in San Gabriel, California, but she was a 46-year resident of Evergreen Park and a devoted wife of Desmond Peter Curran of Athenry, County Galway, Ireland, for over 56 years. She's the loving mother of Desmond, Michael, father Brendan, and Richard, and the proud grandmother of many kids. Family wishes to thank the wonderful surgeons, doctors, nurses, and hospice care staff of Rush Medical Center and Journey Care for their dedication. The visitation is tonight, actually, so you missed that one. Let's see if I got everybody here. Nora Christine, I guess that's it. Let me just one quick check here before we close up the... Please go to and read the great obit I wrote for my old friend Tony Golden. It's at MikeHoulihan.com or at freecrack.com, C-R-A-I-C, or on the Irish American News website. You can read it there as well. But you'll get the whole story about this guy. I'm going to miss him. All right, Billy, we can close up the crypt. And somebody was a she-he on here. Let me just make sure we didn't leave our she-he friend off. Oh, well, we find it later in the show. I'll tell you, somebody got waked at she-he's. Where all the right people go. Okay, now, I want you to remind everybody about our friends, Mike Courtney and Dawn at the Twisted Shamrock Pub. It's one of the best Irish pubs in the Midway area, and Mike and Dawn will take good care of you. It's at 6462 South Central. Our friend Liam Durkin, who's going to Ireland with us in October, will be playing there May 10th at the Twisted Shamrock. So hope to see all of you there. He starts at 9 o'clock over at the Twisted Shamrock, 6462 South Central Avenue, May 10th. That's a week from Friday. Hope to see you there. Liam's just an amazing, amazing Southside Irish balladeer and troubadour. And also, we were at Barney Callahan's last Saturday night at 10618 Southwestern Avenue. And Liam was there. We had a little info party for our trip. And just terrific. We got about 26 people signed up now. So it's filling up fast. So if you're interested, you got to get in touch with Mary Weebler, and I'll give you her number later. But now I just found it. Philip O'Dwyer, a native of Newport, Tipperary, Ireland. I want to make sure we get him in, Billy, because he was waked at Sheehy's. Phil O'Dwyer, senior, beloved husband of 55 years of Sarah, and the father of Philip, Breda, and Kevin. And he was waked at Sheehy's. Where all the right people go. Okay. God rest his soul, Phil O'Dwyer, senior. All right, now, stop in and see our friends Bernard and Mary over at Barney Callahan's Irish Pub, 10618 Southwestern Avenue. It's just the perfect Irish pub, but also we had a great time there Saturday night with Liam Durkin and his mom and dad and his grandma Kay was there, and everybody was there, and we signed up like five or six more people. Dick Haggerty was there, our sponsor. He was with his daughter Rory and a couple of friends. It was just a terrific night. So if you want to have fun, get over there to Barney Callahan's, 10618 Southwestern. Also, the Irish American News. And if you want to read Tony's obit, it's also at irishamericannews.com. Irish American News has been bringing you the news important to the Irish in Chicagoland for over 40 years. If you like mostly good news and information from all facets of the Irish community, check it out, Irish American News. To advertise or subscribe, call my friend Cliff Carlson at 847-872-0700 or email him, cliff@irishamericannews.com. The number again for Cliff Carlson, 847-872-0700. Great publication, great newspaper, and check out the website because they printed my obit on my old pal Tony. This is another big event coming up. You know, this weekend is the Mount Carmel Alumni Banquet. They're having a big shindig over at Carmel, I think, on Friday night. But on Sunday, in honor of our old pal Jackie Casto, this would have been his 50th anniversary of graduating from Carmel. I got this from Frankie Hamer. He says, okay, Hooli, how about this? Some of my pals from Mount Carmel are celebrating their 50th reunion with a three-day bash concluding on Sunday, May 5th, with a Lake Michigan brunch cruise across the Odyssey. And I, that's Frankie Hamer, have reduced ticket prices to $60 each or two for 100. That's $50. The regular cost is about $1.10, about $1.09 and change. So if you want to enjoy a great afternoon on the lake, get the brunch, you can also, you know, cash bar, contact Frankie or contact me, your old pal Hooli, at 312-431-8700. I'll hook you up with Frankie Hamer. Boarding time this Sunday is at Navy Pier between 12:15 and 12:45. The cruise is from 1 to 3 p.m. You got brunch, coffee, iced tea, and soft drinks included, cash bar, ship ahoy! So you don't want to miss that. And I'm going to try and get over there if I have anything left by Sunday. It's going to be a long week because I got Tony's funeral on Friday, and you know, I don't get around as well as I used to, especially after like 20 Guinnesses. Just a joke. Speaking of jokes, well, those will be later in the show. Having a blast here. Once again, Hibernian Radio. It's time for a break, though, folks. So stick around. We'll be right back after these messages from our friends.
When your family has suffered a loss, there's one family I know who will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes are third-generation, family-owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. The Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted in Chicago. At the time, this was one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind and was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. This trademark of service is evident 98 years later, as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. At Sheehy's, the name on their sign outside the funeral home means something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. When my brother Willie died a few years ago, the Sheehys took very good care of our family. And you know, you never forget something like that. Their entire staff cares about each and every family they serve. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike LaRocque, and John Sullivan, and the rest of the staff take great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. Bob Sheehy will tell you, we pride ourselves on offering the highest level of professionalism with every family we serve. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
If you're looking for an office in the Loop, you got to check out Integrated Office Suites at 20 North Clark Street and 455 North City Front Plaza Drive in the NBC Tower. IOS has an entire floor in these two very prestigious buildings, and they offer the best in executive offices, virtual business offices, personalized phone answering, conference room and day office usage, administrative support services, and customized packages with fixed monthly invoices. Integrated office suites are convenient and very classy. So get in touch with our friends at integratedofficesuites.com or call them at 312-561-2300 and tell them Skinny and Hooley sent you. That's integratedofficesuites.com, 312-561-2300. You'll be glad you did.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today, available at your local grocery store.
One evening of late in Tavannan, I strayed and bound for Lanakinty, I'm making me way. At Ballinasgafty, some time I delayed, for to wet me all whistle with porter.
Hey!
I scarcely had travelled a mile of the road when I heard a dispute in the farmer's abode. The son of the landlord, an ill-looking toad, and the wife of the bold tenant farmer.
Hey!
There's no friend like an old friend. Southside Cousins Mike and Dick Haggerty have been selling cars for over 45 years. They've been in business together since 1982, when they started their first store, where everybody in the old neighborhood bought their cars. I go way back with the Haggertys. Mike's a Mount Carmel alum and Dick is St. Ignatius. Dick and Mike have been particularly classy to me over the years. Whenever I visit their showroom, it's old school. Buick GMC at 9301 South Cicero, or the Volkswagen store at 89th and Cicero, both in Oak Lawn. So do yourself a favor. Get to know the Haggerty family. You'll be delighted you did. I'm currently driving a used car I bought at Haggerty's. It's a gem. And when I think I got lucky, I have to tell myself, no, it's because Haggerty took good care of me. God bless him. Call him today at 708-423-5000. 708-423-5000, or go to HaggertyCars.com. Generations of Southside Irish have been happily driving Haggerty cars for generations. Visit Mike Haggerty Buick and GMC at 93rd and Cicero, and Mike Haggerty Volkswagen at 89th and Cicero, and tell them Hooley sent you. And if you're a first responder, you just might get a better deal than I did. There's only one Irish pub in the Chicago River, and that's Lizzie McNeil's at 400 North McClure Court. We spend a lot of time there, taping the Hibernian radio show at Lizzie McNeil's every Wednesday night. You can escape the hustle and bustle of Navy Pier and relax at Lizzie McNeil's. Our old pal John Wren is your host. Please say hello when you stop by for one of their ice-cold brews in an authentic Irish pub. One visit and you'll be calling it your hometown hangout. We've been hanging at Lizzie's for going on 10 years now, so join us. When the weather gets nice, they have two outdoor patio areas where you can take advantage of the sunshine and a cafe menu of salads, sandwiches, and appetizers. Lizzie's also has a great private party room that's perfect for birthdays, graduations, And most nights at Lizzie's, you can meet the elite of Chicago's Irish-American community. So stop by Lizzie McNeil soon, right by the river, and tell them you were sent by your old pal, Hooley. Thanks.
This is Mike Houlihan. I support Concern Worldwide. If you want to do something about global poverty, hunger, refugees, the unacceptable suffering of young children, if you want to reach people directly where the need is greatest, you should too. For 50 years, since its grassroots beginnings in Dublin, Concern has saved and changed millions of lives. It's been the proud, relentlessly compassionate face of Ireland to the world. Support Concern today at concernusa.org. That's concernusa.org. There is no more Irish thing you can do.
And we're back here on Hibernian Radio, folks. Having a great time. Oh, wasn't that Commander Kevin Duffin terrific? He was dynamite tonight, and we hope to have him back again soon. Glad you're all listening. You know, this is our 18th show. And we just keep rocking and rolling, and thank God to the Irish first responder community who has responded to the show. And they keep sending me guests, which is great. Big thanks to police detective Bill Donnelly. He's found us a lot of these guys, and they're just true. They're all terrific. Next week, we got Pat Kwan on the show. He's been on the show before. He's a firefighter, quite the character. He'll be back. But we're booked all through May and into June. So thanks so much for listening and making the show a success. We really appreciate it. Okay, now, Billy, we're going to go to one of my favorite spots now, over on the south side of Chicago, a little place we call Hooley Town.
Deep in the south side of Chicago.
Get me out of here.
So deep. All the way up to 93rd Street.
Get me out of here, please.
Across the tracks. Where they only spoke Yaki Dak.
Oh.
And the people barely survived on a strict diet of crunchy bouncer and bamboo.
Hey, man, you want another drink?
Yes.
Huh? Can I get you two?
This is almost 70 years we're talking.
70
when
years?
The what? His teeth,
oh.
Something entered his cranium.
His cranium?
Right. And wormed around his frontal lobes and took him to a state of mind.
Mind.
Hidden place on the other side of bunkers.
Welcome.
A crazy, silly, screwy.
Have a seat.
Known as... Hooley Town.
Hooley Town.
Welcome to Hooley Town. Don't stay too long, though.
How come?
Because you might not come back. Welcome to Hooley Town.
Why, thank you.
And you're welcome.
Hey, welcome to Hooley Town. It's kind of a different place. My favorite place. Every week, we have fun going to Hooley Town. You might notice it gets a little kooky here in Hooley Town. Billy, you know, one of the first things we do in Hooley Town is I ask you if you would please, Billy, would you please give me a hand with this door? Push it. Sharon Osbourne, Ozzy Osbourne's wife, admits she tried to kill herself three times.
Who cares?
Disgraced Kevin Spacey caught up in a murder scandal.
Who cares?
Ricky Schroeder arrested again for domestic violence.
Who cares?
Elton John still not standing after collapse.
Who cares?
Tom Cruise being hauled into court.
Who cares?
Hey, fixer up her sex scandal. Joanna Gaines' dad is investigating a prostitution ring.
Who cares?
Royal diss. Meghan and Harry unfollow Will and Kate on Instagram as feud escalates.
Who cares?
Hunter Biden splits from late brother's widow Haley amid dad Joe's presidential run.
Who cares?
Rosie's nightmare. Court orders Rosie O'Donnell's daughter to take paternity test in nasty divorce war.
Who cares?
And finally, ceasefire. 50 Cent buries the hatchet in war with Layla Kent's fiance over $1 million loan.
Wow. Who cares?
Close it up. Push it. Oh, my word. Let me get the lid to the top, Billy. It's so hard to reach. I got it. Thanks, pal. You know, I know if you've noticed that The stuff in Who Cares is getting a little edgier. And that's because we go right to the National Enquirer to get our information for Who Cares. Because if you're not going to care about something, you want to really not care, go to the National Enquirer. That's where I get all my good stuff. And I'm telling you, I did not make any of that up. I did not make any of that up. Okay. I'm getting the signals. A couple of quick jokes here in Hoolytown. Joe took his blonde blind date to a seaside carnival. What would you like to do first, Kim? Asked Joe. I want to get weighed, she said. So they ambled over to the weight guesser, a guy who guessed, 110 pounds. And Kim got on the scale, and it read 110 pounds. And she won a prize. Next, the couple went onto the Ferris wheel. When the ride was over, Joe said, well, what do you want to do now? And she said, I want to get weighed. Back to the weight guesser again they went, because this time he guessed her weight correctly, and she got a prize again. Kim and Joe walked around the carnival once again, and he said, what do you want to do next? She said, I want to get weighed. But by this time, Joe figured she was nuts, and he brought her home. Her roommate, Laura, was waiting for her and said, asked Kim, how about her blind date? How did it go, she asked. And Kim said, oh, whoa, it was wowsy. Sorry. I apologize. That just popped up on my stream here. You know what? The married man went to confession, and he tells the priest, I had an affair with a woman, almost. The priest said, what do you mean, almost? The guy says, well, we got undressed, and we rubbed together, but then I stopped. The priest says, rubbing together is the same as doing it. You're not to go near that woman again. Now say five Hail Marys and put $50 in the poor box. The man leaves confession, goes over and says his prayers. Then he walks over to the poor box. He pauses for a moment and then starts to leave. And the priest who was watching him quickly jumps out and says, I saw that. You didn't put any money in the poor box. And the man says, well, I rubbed it up against it and you said that was the same thing. Okay. I'm going to skip that one. We're on a roll here in Hoolytown. Oh, we got one. All right, I'm going to skip that, too. You know what? Here's a joke that Skinny sent us. Okay. You got to be careful, though. Okay, well, Skinny told me a joke the other day. Two attorneys walk into a bar with Lori Lightfoot and her wife. And then... looks like we're out of time. Can't tell that one. Hey, Pat Kwan on the show next week. Thanks for listening, everybody. God bless you all. Stay safe, you first responders. Thanks for everything. God bless you all, and thanks for listening.
Well, I look down the road and I wondered just to see how far I was from God. And I buckled up my shoes and then I started walking. Up my shoes.